So, I want to talk about just the challenging times that we're in and how engaging our courageous and loving bodhisattva heart is medicine. It's medicine for us and it's medicine for others. And the bodhisattva ideal is one of awakening for the benefit of others. We can benefit others in many ways. One of the deepest ways we can be of benefit to others is to truly solve the riddle of our own pain and suffering. And so bodhicitta is this bodhisattva aspiration to awaken for the benefit of all. And it's so lovely because it's like, we're not just doing this for us, you know, we're doing this for the world. We're doing this for the planet. And the bodhisattva path it's an ideal path. It's a tremendous ideal to think we could awaken for the benefit of all. But putting this motivation front and center in our practice really makes our practice more stable, because our practice, even when we're focused inwardly, is for the benefit of the world and the world around us. And this is all based on the radical insight and truth of interdependence. Shams of Tabriz, Persian poet, ancient Persian poet, wrote, "I, you, he, she, we, in the garden of mystical lovers, these are not true distinctions." And of course, we can add many other genders. That's a gender binary. There's many other genders than just he and she. In the garden of mystical lovers, these are not true distinctions. Rumi wrote, "Ten lamps present in one place, each differs from another, yet you can't distinguish one from another when you focus on the light." And the German poet Rilke, this is like just, I just love this expression of interdependence. Rilke wrote, "Ah, not to be cut off, not through the slightest partition, shut out from the law of the stars. The inner, what is it, if not intensified sky, hurled through with birds, and deep with the winds of homecoming." I love those lines. One way to understand awakening, there's many ways, but when we cast it in the truth of interdependence and that we aren't separate, we all actually belong to each other. We inter are, as Thich Nhat Hanh says. So we could think of awakening as the perfection of love, the dissolving of all obstacles to your love. Obstacles like likes and dislikes, preferences, we can still have those. And yet we can be bigger than them and recognize the deep humanity, the deep vulnerability of every human being and every sentient being. We're all just trying to be happy, whatever that means to an ant or a grizzly bear or you. And so the bodhisattva path is really about bowing to this pull in every heart for well-being and wanting to serve that. We serve it in ourselves and we serve it to others. So Shantideva is kind of a revered Tibetan monk from the 8th century, wrote a book called A Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And it's the expression of deep altruism and deep care. He writes, "May I be a protector for those who are without protectors, a guide for travelers, and a boat, a bridge, and a ship for those who wish to cross over. May I be a lamp for those who seek light, a bed for those who seek rest, and may I be a servant for all beings who desire a servant. To all sentient beings, may I be a wish-fulfilling gem, a vase of good fortune, an efficacious mantra, a great medication, a wish-fulfilling tree, and a wish-granting cow. Just, I mean, incredible expression of care. You can just feel the care for every sentient being. And may we be of service through awakening and love. We just then want to help. That's the question. When we really are truly happy inside, then the only question is, how can I help? And as a bodhisattva, practicing love for all beings, we do it for everyone, regardless of race, class, age, political views, ability, sexual orientation, gender identity. We can have this very inspiring ideal. And then we look at our world, a world with COVID, world with incredible political dysfunction and chaos and enmity, so polarized. Forest fires, climate change. You know, how can we engage this bodhisattva heart? You know, this tug in us to love and belong. How can we engage that when the world just seems so difficult right now? Really, we can make this, the world in its state is a pointer at you to dig deep and embody every quality of goodness that you can muster. Truthfulness, that would be a huge antidote. You know, not taking what isn't given, not stealing anything. Being patient, respectful, speaking and acting from kindness and love. I mean, it's really a call to dig deep in what we really value. And this is something we can do in addition to, you know, taking action, however you're moved to in the political or social arena. Inwardly, we can take action too by realizing this is a time to let go of pettiness. This is a time to be generous, kind, in all your actions and all your relations. And that's the bodhisattva path. I'll just do a screen share of, you know, recognizing that there's things we don't want to pursue. So I hope everyone sees the cartoon of the elderly man and his son standing in front of a garage full of junk. And the man is saying, "One day, son, this will all be yours." You know, this is a time to let go of things that really aren't ultimately meaningful to us. And there's a lot to say about how we can, you know, express the bodhisattva heart when times are tough like this. You know, one main thing is to make sure our motivation comes from love and care. Just like Shantideva's quote, you know, "May I be a wish-granting cow," whatever, you know, that means. You know, and Martin Luther King, you know, talks about how we don't want to, when we're opposing what we think is very unskillful action, we don't want to oppose unskillfulness with more of the same. He wrote, "The ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral, begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy. Through violence, you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie, nor establish the truth. Through violence, you murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. Violence merely increases hate. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that." So, our bodhisattva heart is motivated by love and care, not by hatred or judgment. We act for something instead of against something. We dig deep for goodness. We can do it by separating people from their actions. We can oppose actions. We can oppose views. We can oppose systems of racism and injustice. We don't have to oppose people. It hurts our heart when we oppose people. And the Dalai Lama, he actually advises in a little booklet he's written recently called Be Angry. He advises to be angry at social injustice, but not the people, the system, and take action. Anger, you know, can motivate us and give us energy and give us courage. It has a lot of unskillful aspects as well. So if we oppose actions and views and not people, our heart feels better. And that's aligned with our courageous and loving heart. And another thing aligned is not being attached to our views. When we meditate, we understand thinking mind can't capture reality. We have views. We absolutely have beliefs and views based on our experience. Can we recognize they're limited? And they come from our particular history and biases and assumptions. When we're less attached to view, we're less angry because we can make room for people's views who are different than ours. So there's a ton in this kind of dialogue of bringing inner peace into a chaotic, turbulent world. So I've posted in the chat feed,